Blog Talk Radio.
Dedicate this song to recession, depression, and unemployment.
Today's a new day, but there is no sunshine. Nothing but clouds, and it's dark in the heart, and it feels like a cold night. Today's a new day. We're on a blue sky. Where is the love and the joy that the time is to tell me it's alright?
I'll be honest with you.
I almost gave up, but a power that I can't explain. Fell from heaven like a shower.
When I think how much better I'm gonna be when this is over. Say, see, I just don't want you to be happy. I say you gotta have something happy still. I want you to have joy, cause can't nobody take that from you. I see you. Come on.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Let's Talk About It All. I hope that song uplifted you, because that's what it was meant to do. I know you could have been anywhere else doing anything else, but you chose to take some time out to be here with us. And for that, we're grateful. Today, we're going to be doing the part two of how eating can be used as a weapon. How what we eat can actually cause our demise, cause us to live a life that's not live a life to its fullness, because we're disease ridden, because we have different things wrong with our bodies till we can't really live the life that we truly deserve. We know, living in America, you need money. But beyond money, you need good health. Because what's the good in having $1 million and you can't do anything with it? You're unhealthy. You can't get out of the bed. You can't get out of the chair. You can't spend it. So you can make all this money, and then your health fails you, then it's gone. It's like you just got a bunch of paper. So it's important for us to realize that our bodies are our machines. And if we don't take care of our machines, then our machine is not going to take care of us. I don't expect anyone to just change their eating habits overnight. But what I do expect is for people to put forth the effort for their own well-being. And by taking care of yourself, you have the ability to take care of those who depend on you to some extent. You know, it's imperative that we strive to work out a regimen, because everybody's different, and some people willpower is stronger in other areas than some other people. Like for me, I haven't gotten to the point where I would like to be, where I can totally just say goodbye to meat. I would like to get there. I haven't gotten there yet. So rather than pout about it or give up because that's something that I struggle with, I decide to take days out of the week where I don't eat meat. I might eat fish, shrimp, or something like that. And then there's days that I try to work on where I don't even eat that. So for me, personally, I think some degree of effort towards striving to eat healthy is better than none at all, better than eating meat, eating pork. You know, and for those of you who eat pork, you know, even and especially for those of you who eat pork and are Christian, you know, And there's some place in the Bible where it said Jesus cast the demons into the swine. So if Jesus thought so little of pork where he would put demons in it, why would you want to eat that type of meat? You know, and for you who eat it, you'd have to do it the same way. You'd have to take some time from it. Because ultimately, we as a people, and when I say we as a people, I like to use black people. Some people may be referred to African American. Some people may refer to people of color. Some people may refer to melanin people. I like to use black because of the time that I've seen in my lifetime that we were most productive were when we were under the banner of blackness, black power, black is beautiful, those times. So I like to use black. I don't ever remember color is beautiful, melanin is beautiful. I don't remember no movements like that amongst us. So I don't use those terms, you know. So what I really, you know, want to emphasize to everyone is we have to strive to take care of ourselves, take care of each other. We need to be able to take care of each other. And for me, you know, I'm working on a new movement. And, this is my first time saying it. You know, Dre and Jay, they know about this. Next month is going to be, you know, my last month doing this podcast. So I'm announcing it today. So all next month, you know, I'm going to really strive to, you know, really get into it even more. But I'm going to be walking away from the podcast, but I'll still be, you know, guests and, you know, tuning in to other podcasts because now, and I will be able to even tune in to Grown Folks Talking because Forrest and I seem to be having the same time slot, so I don't get the chance to tune in to his, and he don't get the chance to tune in to mine because we have a similar time slot. Therefore, with that being said, I still will be interacting with other podcasts, but for me, I want to focus on a movement. And yeah, I could do it on the podcast, but I've come to the decision of I want to put all of my energy towards one. Now, lately, I've been dividing my energy between the two, the podcast and my YouTube channel. I'm going to put my energy towards the YouTube channel. And hopefully after I get another two subscribers, I'll be able to go live and I won't really miss the podcast and I may be able to pick up another time where people can tune in live and we can really discuss, you know, certain things and, you know, that we can still discuss what we're discussing now, but it's mostly going to be as when I started off here for blackness, you know, blackism. For me, the only thing that can defeat racism is blackism. Some people say money, but we've seen cases of people with money, racism still kicked them in their butt. So the only thing that I see and believe that will do it is blackism. And when I say blackism, I mean that we do like everyone else is doing and like we did in the past before integration where we took care of each other. We loved each other. You know, Sister Lisa on her show sometimes speak about loving on each other. You know, we grew up in a time, us of a certain age, we grew up in a time where we had the businesses, where we didn't have to look to others and give our money to other people. We gave our money to people that look like us. So many of you, probably 40 and under, you know, maybe even 45 and under, or just say 50 and under, you know, that you haven't witnessed that, unless you live in, you know, certain places where you see it, and it's far in between. So I'm saying that because we've had it before 50 years ago. I mean, yeah, that's a good while, but it's not a lifetime. It's not what we've been told, what we've been, you know, conditioned to believe, that slavery stunted our growth. No, it didn't stunt our growth. It was a stumbling block that affected the way we see each other and the way people looked at us, but we are a resilient people, so we were able to bounce back from that and, you know, capitalize. You ask me, I would say what hurt us more than slavery, you know, was integration, because we knew what we was dealing with slavery. We knew from the examples of slavery, you was doing free labor. That's what was going on, and they was abusing you. Now, after slavery, they were still abusing you. They were still abusing our ancestors, and at the end of the day, they don't talk about that. They just take it back to slavery, and they don't talk about the abuse and the land and everything that was stolen after slavery. So when we talk about reparations are beyond slavery. Reparations is the 1900s to 1865 on up, when we were supposed to be free, things that happened. But even those things didn't stop our progress. Now what has stopped our progress is we don't even know what to identify as, many of us. So, you know, my wife and I had the conversation today that, you know, I said I want to, you know, push blackness, black power, black love, black unity, you know, and she was saying some people may, you know, feel a little uncomfortable. They may feel a little uncomfortable about that. And based on their complexions. And for me, I've grew up around different people with different complexions, and I always considered them black. They always considered themselves black, so that kind of threw me back when she said it. I guess it makes sense for some people, you know, because my wife is very fair-skinned, so there are people who are fair-skinned who may, you know, have a little, you know, a reluctance to just say black because when they look in the mirror, they don't see black. But being realistic, when I look in the mirror, I don't see black as a color where you look at some black shoes or a black car or something like that. I see brown, but I don't want to say I'm brown. You know, they may ask you to describe your complexion. Okay, I can say brown, but when it comes to a people, I'm going with the dominant color, and that's black. Any color derives from white and black. If you put colors together, you get colors by putting white and black together, and they start spreading up. Then whatever color comes from white and black, you put those two colors with black, or those two colors with white, and so forth and so on. So for me, I'm comfortable being called black, and I'm comfortable promoting a black movement, you know? So that's the thing, and that's what I'm going to be promoting on my web, on my YouTube site, because we should not feel uncomfortable wanting black people to be equal with everyone else when it comes to good things in life, when it comes to owning businesses, when it comes to controlling your children, when it comes to creating jobs for your people. You know, often people say, you know, Latinos, they are brothers. Everybody's our brother and sisters. All people, when it comes to the human family, are brothers and sisters. However, are our brothers and sisters hiring our children? You know, I'm yet to see, and it was only one time, well, a couple times for me personally, where I actually had the opportunity to get a bodega from Latinos. So I don't have no problem against Latino people or whatever. But for the most part, Latino people, they exchange their businesses with each other. And what that told me is it's not that they're locking us out. It's that we don't be ready. We don't be ready to make the moves. We're too busy trying to shine on the outside, you know, spending massive money on nails, hair, you know, clothes and trips and all this stuff. And grant you, all of that is fine in moderation. However, when it stunts your financial growth, then it becomes a problem. And that's a problem for me with us, that we do it too often until it stunts our financial growth to where we're not utilizing our money, gain power. Financial power is good. There's nothing wrong with financial power, so I'm not opposed to money. I'm not opposed to people, you know, economics. I'm for that. But I'm a cut it right there, and we're gonna get to the video, and we're gonna listen, and then we'll come back and we'll speak again. But basically, everything ties in, eating right, money, all that ties in. So Jay, Dre, you know, guys, go ahead and put that on.
To introduce to you a 74-year-old elder who's very experienced in the church and so forth to share her testimonial. She overcame severe, debilitating, crippling rheumatoid arthritis on a fruit fast. And so here is Mama Jones.
Mama Jones, welcome to the Rock Newman Show 2.0. I have been waiting to see you. I have been waiting to hear your testimony. Sister, please tell our audience experience. The floor is yours.
Oh, well, first of all, I would really like to thank the minister and yourself for allowing me to come on and even share my testimony. It's been a long one. I got diagnosed in 2010 with rheumatoid arthritis, and I learned that it was an autoimmune issue. And so immediately, the pain was so severe until it made me bedridden.
Oh.
I couldn't understand, you know, what could be happening to your body that makes you be in that much pain. And when they told me it was an autoimmune issue, I'm saying, God didn't make our body to turn on itself. So there's got to be something more than I just inhaled it or, you know, it just happened. So I started my journey trying to find out, using herbal remedies and taking up thousands of dollars worth of classes, trying to improve my nutrition. And, you know, the journey was long, and then I got wheelchair bound. So I couldn't even walk for 7 years. And so I continue to trust God. You know, I use that scripture that says, trust in the Lord all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. So I never finished that scripture. Because at the end, it tells you that if you trust in him and do what he tells you to do, that he'll provide you with good health. And so to make a long story short, I struggled with trying different superfood products and trying to correct my diet the best that I could, but I never eliminated the meat. And so as I learned the story on the meat, I watched videos, it still didn't hit me. But it wasn't until I met Nathaniel Jordan, the minister of wellness, that he started having services on Saturdays, on the Sabbath, giving us word that God has already made the Bible into a health ministry, as I would say. So your healing will come from returning to the Torah, so God's living instructions. He gave us instructions in the beginning on what to put in our bodies, where the medicine was, and so when you turn away from that and get unequally yoked with the medicine industry telling you to take their medicines instead of taking the medicines of God, then you become ill. And so in these teachings that we've been having on Saturdays or the Sabbath in Proverbs, I read that book of Proverbs, I guess, 100 times. And I would always not lose my spot because it's 31 chapters in it. And so I would always say, okay, what's today's date? So I'm going to read Proverbs whatever day it was. But then when I started listening to the minister and he started explaining, it always came back to, if you do this, I will do this. And it was always life, always health. And so I just went right past that. So by me joining this ministry, it has really changed my life. But I see a lot of people, I live in a senior community, and I see many people taking medication, sometimes 20, sometimes 15 medications.
Yes.
The legs are just like lymphedema. So it's just sad to see that happening. And so by being involved with the ministry, he's giving me courage. He's giving me courage. And when I start talking to people, sometimes they don't want to hear about stop eating meat. So I just send them one of his tapes and let him tell it, you know. But we've got to change what we're putting into our temples.
So I heard you say that you were in excruciating pain, rheumatoid arthritis, wrecked your body with excruciating pain. Now, was that lower extremities, ankles, knees, lower back?
Systemically, it was all over from my head to my toe, and it was 24 hours a day, every day.
Oh my God!
And
so you were in torture
every day. When you hear someone being diagnosed with any autoimmune issue, that means that their body, their systems, all of the system that God has put in place is out of sort. It's not homeostasis in the body. And so, like, when your nervous system is really racked up and because of the pesticides, and one in specific is that glyphosate that they used in World War II as a biological warfare. And so that tears up your nervous system. And so that's how they kill. They were killing people with that stuff. So they packaged it up, brought it back here, named it Roundup, started spraying our vegetables and our fruit. Then they started coating our fruit with these numbers, these little stickers. I used to wash the fruit off and tear the sticker off and throw it away. But then I learned that those are codes that tell you what's on the fruit. And so once I started learning those things, the pain eased up a little bit, but it wasn't until I went on the fruit fast and learned all of the medicine.
Now, did Nathaniel Jordan prescribe that?
Absolutely.
If you can share with us, because I want to just break this down to the lowest common denominator. So he shared the fruit fast. You started adhering to it, and what happened?
Well, I met him 82 days ago. And so I had, through all of that, what I was doing with the superfoods and trying to eat right, my pain had gotten down to maybe a 5. It was like underlying. I started functioning better. But it wasn't until he told me to go on an all-fruit fast. And so I thought I was doing something when I went on it for 5 days after I had consultation with him. And then he says, well, how long have you been on it, Mama Jones? I say 5 days. He said, I want you to go on there for 35 more days. I want you to do a 40-day. So I'm saying 40 days, no meat, no nothing. But as he taught us that different fruits, like the astringent fruits, like the grapes and the oranges and the lemons and the pineapples, those are astringent fruits. And so what that was doing was, once I got an understanding that those things pull pus and inflammation out of the cells, then I started, you know, making sure I had those to start my day with. And then when he talked about the berries were the antioxidants, so they were like the machine guns. They're going to, you know, like shoot down all the toxin in the body. So then I said, okay, so I'm going to give myself a strenuous to pull this mucus and pus out of your cells, and then I'm going to eat my berries next. And then at the end, the melons, the water melons, which is the best alkaline water you can give your body. That's like the water hose. And so that goes through and that rinses everything out at the end of the day. And so I just kept repeating that along with the scriptures that he was giving us to, you know, like, and then the community we're in is like so supportive, you know. So all of this together, it takes all of that to really start the healing process. And so once I understood why I was eating this, what medicines was in the food, then it became very easy. I didn't even know I hadn't had any.
I want to say, sister, 14 different times and then 14 more, and then multiply that. Hallelujah. Because I see you sitting there with a certain grace and beauty and ease. Thank you. I can only imagine when you were racked with that pain, your radiant smile couldn't come forth as it is right now. One incredible testimony. So how you feeling today?
I feel absolutely wonderful and truly blessed. And, at one time, I used to pull the curtains because I was like, I don't want nobody to talk to me. I don't want to talk to nobody because my body was in so much pain. But now, I jump up with enthusiasm and energy. That's the major factor, is the energy level that has sprung forth and the clarity and thought. You know, so it brings back all of my spirituality as far as being able to encourage other people and give them hope. And even with them trying to put me on the different injections and the medications that ended up being like chemotherapy, and I'm like, I'm not doing that. You know, God is going to heal me. But sometimes I would get weak. So once I got with the minister and in the community, if I get weak, he has different videos that strengthen you. That you don't want to go back to that pain. You don't want to go back to, you know, like having those kind of negative thoughts or the parasitic activity that was existing in my body. So, you know, I'm grateful. I'm grateful for the minister, you know, for he's saving so many people's lives. I've heard so many testimonies. And even in my family, you know, my family is beginning to ask me, can they come over and talk to me about how to do this fruit fast? And so it's just a blessing. God has really, truly anointed him to save the people at this time.
You know one thing? I could spend another hour or 2 hours during this show and talking, and Nathaniel certainly, you know, he has the gift of God, the word. He could also, but I'm telling you, I don't know anything, Sister Jones, that could be more powerful, erudite, and real than what you just said. Thank God you blessed the Rock Newman Show 2.0 with that particular testimony that I am hoping that gets spread around. We're going to do everything we can. If, you know, with your grace and blessing, we'll do everything we can to put that testimony out there, because we just, no one will question. We can look and see all of your beauty and realness, sister.
Yeah.
And we want to expose that, because what your testimony, I think, has the potential to do is to help get people away from their sickness, help with their health, extend their life. What greater blessing can any of us do here on this earth than to have that kind of impact? Thank you so much. God bless you.
Thank you for allowing me the time.
You're more than welcome. You're more than welcome.
Okay, welcome back, everybody. Now, you heard the testimony from his sister, 71 years old. You heard, you know, you heard her saying, you know, the regimen they was putting her on and medication. So we have to realize as a people that when it comes to us, there's an agenda, and we fall right into that agenda, many of us fall right into that agenda and allow ourselves to, you know, become puppets, slaves, as you will. You know, we still, to some extent, you know, if let's put it this way, if the whole slavery story is true, that they brought some of us here, many of us here, and forced us to work for free, and were able to build a country off of our free labor. Now, anyone that's on the phone can say that you've never been compensated for that. So basically, they never compensated you, they never apologized. Or you get the pushback of, it didn't happen with us, it wasn't our fault, move on, get past it. Okay, all of that set aside. If there was, how much did the Constitution and all the laws change prior, you know, after that? How much? You know, the whole system was designed to allow slavery. So if the system was designed around slavery, why would those same people who designed the system and who are upholding the system do anything that is going to free you from being used for financial gain? Because ultimately, it's not about hating us as a people more so than it's about loving the money that they can make from us. Because we are gullible, many of us, to the systematic racism, you know, systematic capitalism. And now we throw our money away and we embrace others and we push out each other away. Welcome to Let's Talk About It All, calling you live.
Hi, good evening, Shadi. How you doing?
Finding yourself, Sister Lisa. How are you?
All right, good topic. Very interesting. I just want to bring up a little thing that happened to me. I'm a diabetic, and I've been a diabetic since I was 53, so about maybe 15 years. And I've been on metformin since I started. And my numbers used to be pretty low. And then my numbers started rising. And the doctor proceeded to put me on 2 diabetic pills. And then I just went through different names. And still it was just getting higher and higher to reach 300. A1C was 10.2. And I start saying, I got to get a handle on it before something happened to me. So I started watching what I eat, dieting, but it wasn't coming down. It was like still this like little point. And I wasn't getting, you know, discouraged. I still was trying. And then my daughter told me about the shot that you could get, and it helps you with your A1C. So I went to a diabetic doctor, and she prescribed the shot for me. And I'm telling you, Shadi, within 2 weeks, my A1C, well, my finger stick went down to 124, 108. And my A1C, after 3 months, went down to 7. So to make a long story short, pharmaceuticals and your doctor just wanted money from me and get rich off of me being sick with diabetes. because if she really cared, she would have gave me something that really works instead of having me come in and say, well, let's try this. Well, we're going to try this first, which I had asked her like years before, won't you put me on a shot for once, you know, once a week might work. No, I want to try something. Let me put you on this. Let me put you on that. And like, okay, now I'm 64, and who knows what damage it caused with them just playing, putting me on meds back and forth. And as the young lady was saying in the talk you just had, you don't really realize what's going on with your body. Like, I was always tired. I worked and I came home and I had to fall out. I was more slower. I ate to give me energy because I had no energy. You know, as I said, sometimes you have to stop that slave mentality and making other people rich off of yourself, because your health is your wealth. And I was just applying to them, making them rich, but nothing was happening for me. So down the road now, 3 months that I've been on the shot, I'm maintaining a lower A1C. But look, it took me 15 years before I stopped playing tic-tac-toe with the pharmacies and the doctor, the pharmaceuticals. So we as a people, we do got to stop letting them experiment off of us and give us what they want to give us, that are really truly trying to help us to be a better health. They like to love to put on your chart, obese, morbid obese, but they're not giving you no way out. They just got you know, Afro-American obese. Okay, so I'm Afro-American, but help me. Help me to get down to where I need to be before it's too late and I become a statistic. So, yeah, you're right on point tonight that we do got to stop having that slave mentality and not take care and do what we need for ourselves. We got to emancipate ourselves.
Absolutely. And thank you for your testimony, sister. Thank you. You know, because it's happening far too often. You know, I've seen people, you know, who become enslaved to their medication. That's it. The whole day they have to be on some type of meds. And grant you, all the medications have some type of side effects. The FDA will not approve a medication that don't have some type of side effect. So that has to tell you something, that they won't approve it if it don't have a side effect. So, you know, we looking at a people who supposedly brought us here for free labor like they really want to help us. Why would they want to help us? What, you know, you get some people say, oh, because they freed us? You know, but when you look at how, from what history says, that America was divided with that. They went at war against each other for this freedom of slavery. So if anything, it was because they didn't want to have two separate countries within one country. The same as when we talk about history and we talk about the British, England owning America, and then America fought for their freedom to be free of England. So why don't we fight for our freedom to be free of America's imposing slavery on us? You know, because there's things that we can do now. It's enough individuals here, and it's enough of us that we don't have to continue living the way that we live. And all we have to do is come together under one banner. And welcome to Let's Talk About It All, calling you live.
Hi, Shadika, it's Latoya.
Hey, Toy. What's going on, Sister Toy? How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I hope all is well with you.
Yeah, I'm good.
Good. Just listening to the show and it's heard what Sister Lisa has said, and listening to what you're saying, it's up to us to take control of things instead of letting doctors or like you're saying, whoever, to tell us other words. For me, I took fully in control of my health when they tried to place me on pills, and I said no. I got in the gym, changed my diet, and I was able to drop the weight. I refuse to take pills if it's unnecessary for me.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And that was just hypertension, as I speak, was hypertension, and I refuse. And today, which I thank God, that was back in 2009, and I have no hypertension, and I'm grateful for that. So we have to take full control of our health, or in general, you know, we have to take control of it instead of letting others tell us. That's what I just wanted to say. Thank you.
And thank you, Sister Troy, for your testimony, because if we don't have good health, we can't fight no battle. At the end of the day,
but you know,
the health. Go ahead.
But you know, the tie up on Latoya. Hi, Latoya, how you doing? My age group, we respected doctors, and we felt that if they told us to take something, we took it without any, you know, any thought about it. But as time is moving on, like Latoya, you know, said, and we take more control of ourselves, we realize that we gave our power over to them, not really knowing that it wasn't in our best interest that they, you know, decided to make us into pill-popping people. I wanted to say one more thing real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
I had got COVID, as y'all know, and I went to St. Joe's, and, they, you know, I didn't know what I had. They said, oh, you got COVID. There's nothing we could do for you. So I went home, and I suffered. And then I couldn't take it no more, so I went to a hospital by my job. And let me tell you, they gave me an antiviral pill. And when I took it, I'm telling you, within an hour, I felt like myself. Now, it didn't last long. Like one day, I felt powerful. You know what I'm saying? But the thing is that sometimes where we live at, our communities, they're not trying to help you. Because how can I go to another whole county hospital and they got something to give me, and that where I live at, my own neighborhood, they don't even try to give you anything and just send you home the root pig or die. And it just, it really disgusted me that no matter what, where I went, they still was going to charge me the same amount of money for being in their hospital as I went to the other one and I did get treated. So that's another thing. We got to stop giving all our time and money to places that don't really care about us and start, you know, giving our money to where we know that they're going to do something for us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. With that being said, we're going to... Okay. Welcome to Let's Talk About It All, calling you live.
Hey, what's going on, Sean? It's Jay.
What's going on, brother Jay?
That was a deep video with that lady. And I actually could see what she looked like because I'm behind the scenes.
Right,
and
right.
She looked good to be 71 years old. And I remember I was working at Barnard Hospital in 1991. I went to have lunch. I was taking my lunch, and I sat down with these two nurses. I was an orderly, a male nurse's aide. And I started eating. I had spaghetti that day. So I started eating the spaghetti, and stuff started getting dizzy. Like, the room was spinning. So, you know, the nurses, they was overprotective, so they was more like, you know, they want to rush me to the emergency room, you know what I mean? So I go to the emergency room. It's 91. I don't know how old I was in 91, but let me see, 23.
28.
I probably 28. Was about 28. Okay, I'm 28
about
years 20. Old. I go to the emergency room. I'm working in a hospital. They tell me my blood pressure is up. Okay. They tell me to make an appointment with the doctor. I go to the doctor, and it's kind of outrageous that I still got the same doctor that I had then. Now, 30 years later. But anyway, I go to the doctor. He take my blood pressure. He tell me my blood pressure is high. Right away, he gave me blood pressure medicine. Right away, I get blood pressure medicine. So I start on blood pressure medicine. Now, all I really know is that it's hereditary for black people. I guess my father got it. I guess my mother got it. You know, I'm not even sure, but, you know, you hear that old black people get popped, so I just start taking medicine in 1991. So I go in the next probably year or two, I go through maybe three or four different medicines because some of them was making me sluggish. Some of them was killing my sex drive. You know, it was doing different things to me. So I wind up getting on a certain medicine. I wind up taking that medicine for about maybe 10 years, maybe. Then they put me on another medicine, all right, because I think that one, I don't know, whatever, the company went out or something, they put me on another one. I wind up taking that one for about 10 years. And then they come out and they say, okay, we pulling that one off the shelf. It got something in it that's causing cancer. I already took it for 10 years. You know what I mean? So, all right. They put me on something else, which I'm still on to this day. It's two pills I take. But the moral of the story is that when I first went to the emergency room when I was 28, when I first went to the doctor when I was 28, he should have told me, you know, well, you're still young. Before I put you on this medicine, try to lose some weight, change your eating habits, and let's see what happened before that, and then we'll put you on medicine. But right away, they put me on the medicine. Okay, let's fast forward. I'm still taking blood pressure medicine now to this day. Fast forward to about three years ago, because I go get blood work every year. So I go get blood. Say I go get blood work 5 years ago. They tell me that I'm borderline diabetes. All right, I got to do something. Next year I come, you're still borderline. The next year, you're still borderline. The next year, you're still borderline. So the fifth year, which was 3 years ago, I go there. You got diabetes. I'm like, I got to put you on medicine. I'm like, you sure? Yeah, you got like a couple of years in a row where you borderline. But what's the numbers? I didn't really know the numbers at that time about that. But then I found out that it's 99 and under or 100 and under. Let's just say 100 and under or 99 and under. So I'm like, I asked him, what's my number? Oh, you 106. But see, I didn't know at that time that 99 was like normal. So right. 106. So what they could have did, they could have just said, you 106, like, you right there. Cut out this, cut out that, cut out sugar, exercise a little bit more, do this. But they put me on a diabetes meds. But they did give me a little break with the diabetes, like a couple of years in a row. I was like 110, 106. But anyway, they put me on a medicine. My sister was just talking about metformin. It's a terrible medication. Let me tell you, it makes you, if you want to talk about going to the bathroom, so you take that pill, you will go to the bathroom. So anyway, I take the metformin for 2 years, and my numbers are still the same, 106, 105. And I go to this urologist, another doctor, and then he tell me, he take my blood work, and I tell him I got diabetes. And I mean, I'm taking metformin. He said, why? He said, your number's only like 106. I was like, that's what it was 3 years ago when they put me on it. But he didn't tell me to stop taking it, though, because, you know, they all in it together like cops. So he was my urologist. But he could have also, because he's been my doctor for years, he could have also told me, but he's not going to go against another doctor because they all in together. So instead of him saying, well, maybe you should, you know, talk to him about getting off of exercise, you only like one, your sugar is only 110, 115, whatever. So I take the medicine for 2 years, and then I just say, forget it, like LaToya just said. I just said, forget it. I stopped taking the metformin, and I haven't taken it in maybe a year and a half. I check my sugar. It's still in the same area, 106, 111, 120, but that's nothing. You know what I mean? My sister tell you, hers used to be 300, 200, 300. It's people who be higher than that. So what I'm just saying is that, now I do take the blood pressure medicine because I believe I really do have hypertension. And in order for me to control that, I would have to really change my whole lifestyle like that lady did on the video. I would have to probably go on a fruit diet because, you know, I still drink occasionally. I still eat fried food. I do work out. I'm saying, I just figure I've been taking it this long, you know what I mean? I think about getting off of it often, but I just haven't made it up in my mind yet to get off of blood pressure medicine because, you know, they scare you and tell you, oh, it's the silent killer. You could be walking around feeling good and your blood pressure could be 200 over 190 or whether they scare you with that. But I remember Rashawn said that, told me one time, Jay, you can get off any medicine. It's all how you eat. I'm not talking about medicine for like sickle cell or stuff like that. I'm talking about like high blood pressure medicine, diabetes medicine, cholesterol medicine, you know, stuff like that. Vitamin D, low deficiency, like stuff, build your immune system, like stuff like that. You could take control of yourself. And like my sister was saying, I never knew till I got older, they all in it together. The pharmacies get paid, the doctors get paid. And the patients, yo, we just guinea pigs, you know what I mean? And I commend, like, LaToya, people who just got off of it and said, forget about it. Because if I had the nerve, I would have been got off of the high blood pressure medicine a long time ago. I would have got off of it. But, I did get off of that diabetes medicine. I gave that metformin the boot because, nah, I wasn't going to be a slave to two high blood pressure pills and a diabetes pill. You know what I mean? So it's all a money thing, just like the prisons. It's all about money.
Absolutely. And, you know, thank you for your testimony. But what I want you to play that last 4 minutes.
Another video?
Before we're done.
All right.
Yeah, the last 4 minutes. I want you to play that before we're done. All right?
All right. All right, here we go. Right. Here we go.
All right. Okay.
Broken, and it's rather than me trying to characterize what you said, if you could talk to us about those folks who are out there. So I got diabetes because, you know, my family, everybody in my family had diabetes. I got high blood pressure because everybody in my family had high blood pressure. And your response to that kind of thinking and that kind of talk is what?
Is that everybody is that we all have certain predispositions. That is true. But that doesn't mean you have to fall to those predispositions. You can control whether you suffer what you're predisposed to or whether you break free and overcome that. Because in the message, he was talking about your telomere link. And that's a very important. The telomeres are part of your DNA, and shorter telomeres, shorter the life. But I learned I learned years ago that you can lengthen your telomere length based on the amount of vegetation that you eat. So, yes, the Satanic American Diet, Brother Rock, is a 10,000-head monster. It can give one family cancer, one family diabetes. My family is stroke and high blood pressure. As soon as I fall off, my blood pressure shoots off the roof. So, yes, we all have predispositions, but what are you going to do about it? Are you going to be a victim and do the same thing that your other family members do, or are you going to do it again, the great Neely Fuller Jr. talked about, and change the plan to a plan that works? And the plan that works is if everybody in my family is eating all of this death food and eating all this sugar and saturated fat and dying of cancer and diabetes, what would happen if I flip that and I start to eat to live? Well, you're going to break that curse. So we are perpetuating a way of eating. No one is changing because food is a culture. We love to eat ourselves to death. This has become our culture, which is why this is going to be one of our topics where we're going to dive into soul food, which is not good for the soul. And this is a part of the weaponization of Christianity, because they just said, shut up, nigga, and eat what I give you and just bless your food in Jesus' name. And so this is what we need to change. This is why your family's being destroyed with heart attacks, stroke, and cancer. This right here. But if we flip that, if somebody in the family, such as myself, will be courageous enough to flip that to the medicine foods and being, I can say with boldness and confidence, I'm not going to have a heart attack and I'm not going to have a stroke. It's not going to happen. I'm not going to have diabetes. None of those diseases are going to come upon me because I'm going to tell my DNA what to do. I'm not going to continue down this same death path and play Russian roulette with my life. And that's the mentality that I want everybody to have. And we just heard a 74-year-old elder have that mentality when it came to debilitating, crippling rheumatoid arthritis.
You know, I didn't want to impose upon Sister Jones, so I reserved my instinct.
Okay, and I stand corrected. She was 74, not 71. You know, that's, I wanted to play that because, you know, we were just talking about diabetes and heart blood pressure, and we were talking about predispositions. Basically, when you were saying, Jay, that, you know, they say that, you know, this is what, you know, African, you know, I like to say black people have, it's based on, yeah, we have a history of eating a certain way. So, of course, if we have a history of eating a certain way, then we're going to be, you know, predisposed to those certain type of diseases. So as the brother said, look, we have the ability to change. And we have to realize that. I played the song, you know, Smile. We smile because the creator of all things in existence created us. And that part that he created within us is the most powerful part in the world that we can even imagine. And if that part is dulled down and being diminished, then we can't truly be who we are capable of being as an individual and as a family and as a tribe of people. So we got to hold on to that, okay, why did they bring us over here if they brought us over here? And if they didn't bring us over here, why do they keep that slavery thing? Why was that so much of a highlight in our lives? And if that whole highlight is because They want to keep us in a manner where we be in control. And if you're being controlled, you can't be who you are capable of being. So we have enough information now to do way better than it was done previously. And I'm not, you know, I'm going to cut it short because, you know, of time restraints. But, you know, next week we'll pick up and we'll, you know, we'll expound on what we need to do as black people. Like I said, I like to use black. I'm working on some stuff to make everybody who have, you know, even those who have a little hesitation, because black has been made to look, you know, be demonish or, you know, not to be proud to be black. You know, it's been a lot of negative connotation behind being black, to where I just want us to be able to use it as a banner to unite us, not to separate us, to help us be able to work together, to move together, to grow together, to prosper together. And, yeah, we have individuals who are good with money, and then they able to move on. All right, but what about the rest of us that's not that good with money? How about we start trying to, you know, help them, teach them, let them learn how to be better with money, especially if they're interested, you know? Because my thing is, no matter whether you're a teacher, a lawyer, a judge, a doctor, whether you're gay, straight, whatever, when you're a black person, we try to push black aside and put those other things first, and that's when we start mistreating each other. We have to put black before anything. Let's put black even before the American flag. Like, we choose a flag. We got young brothers out here choosing colors and gangs over their blackness. So they killing each other over a color. I'm a blood. I'm a Crip. And they're killing each other because they're not seeing themselves as being black first. Yes.
Got Brother Leon. I'm sorry to cut you. You got Brother Leon on. Go right ahead, Brother Leon.
Okay. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead, Brother Lee. What's going on with you, brother?
Leon, you there?
Well, welcome to Let's Talk About It All, Brother Leon.
Yeah,
you
yeah, live? I'm here. Yeah, no, brother, I'm here. I had to take my, I had myself on mute because I was moving around.
Okay.
So I put myself on mute.
Okay.
But I didn't get to chime in to your show, brother, like I needed to and like I wanted to. But, you know, I don't have to, brother, because I know you're always speaking truth, man. So it's funny, man, because when I hear you speak, I hear myself speak, and vice versa. So keep on doing what you're doing, man, and whatever you're doing, man, let me know. Let me know if I can give any assistance to you and any help to you.
Absolutely, brother, absolutely, you know, and the same with you, you know, when you say that, you know, that we are like, it's like, you know, as I grew up in the 5%, we say A alike, B alike, C alike, you know, and it's always build each other, we got to build each other. You know, so when we start becoming more like-minded, and that's the reason that I push the black thing, because I just want us to be able to come under a banner of one thing and be able to move in that manner, that our number one goal after we get ourselves together is to get each other together. You know, when they say, you know, I was talking to Jay the other day, earlier today, and we was talking about crabs in the barrel. And I said, the crab in the barrel mentality is we have individuals who rise above other individuals, and they don't reach back down to pull these other individuals out. And a crab shouldn't be in a barrel, because a crab belong in the lake or the sea or an aquarium. So we should be trying to pull each other out of the barrel. If we crabs in the barrel, well, I pull one out, then that's less crabs. So before you know it, there's no crabs in the barrel. So nobody trying to pull you down because you pulling them up. You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing. We need to start if I pull the next man up, right, and then I go beyond that, the next man is where I was, and then I'm moving on to something else, and then he pulls the next person up, and then that person becomes where he at, and he moves to somewhere else. However, we get the crab in the barrel because we like to rise alone, and we don't want to pull nobody up. Many of us, my wife and I was discussing that I said many of us get it in high places, and we want to shine. We want to shine on other people rather than bring other people to where we're at and move on beyond that, you know?
So, you said one thing, brother, that resonates with me. A lot of things you say resonate, but just now you spoke about us helping each other and fixing each other so we can move on and help fix somebody else. And that's what the King Roundtable do, the Men's All, the Men's Support Group does. And that's why I started it, so we can start to try to fix and heal each other so we can move on and maybe start grabbing some of these young people and try to fix them. If we can't fix ourselves, there's no way we can fix them. And so that's what
Absolutely.
The King Roundtable was started for. You know what I mean? Y'all are definitely invited to come over, you know, this Monday. Everybody online, it's just for the men's only. But y'all definitely invited to come on over there.
Definitely. You know, definitely. I'll be there. You know, I'll definitely be there to support and to help out. Because as I said, you know, we are one. Our blackness is beyond the flag. Our loyalty is to each other, and that's something we haven't been doing in the past since the 70s. We lost that. We had it. So I've been around long enough to see that we had it. Some people never saw it, so they don't believe it exists. I know it exists, so I know it's possible. So my fight is to fight to bring it back, not because, you know, I don't believe it exists, because I know it existed. So it's going to be difficult for someone who never saw it, but I saw it. So my faith and my strength is stronger than maybe someone who never saw it because they don't believe it ever existed, but I know it existed. So and if you do your research and you'll realize that the Black Power movement, we were the best in our lifetime. I can't speak for, you know, the 1800s and know how we were in the 1900s, but what I can speak to is what I got from my elders when my mom used to tell me that her father used to have to call little young white boys sir, and it used to hurt her heart. So when you was with Southern thing, it was like you say yes sir, yes ma'am, and it came derived from Black people having to call white people sir and ma'am. So I did get that. So it tells me that there was a time that we were being totally undermined and mistreated as a people because white people had made themselves superior. And don't get me wrong, you hear me speak about white people, I don't dislike nobody. I love all people. I'm a humanitarian. However, my first obligation is to the people I'm a part of. So, of course, I want to see my people grow. And you know, even when you use Jesus said in the Bible, he would say, I didn't come to the ones that's well, I came to the ones that's sick. And we the ones who sick. So I'm doing, you know, like Jesus would do, and I'm coming to the sick. I want to help the sick. I want us to be good. So I'm not trying to go and help the people that's well. The white people as well. They good. They running everything. So why should I be concerned about what's going on with them and how they feel about me telling my people I love them and I want to see them be the best they could be, and I'm tired of them going to somebody else, trying to go to another people and say, can you treat me equal? Can you do this for me? Stop asking them for anything. don't ask them for nothing. We do it for ourselves because they embarrass us by having us have to be protesting and marching for equality. Why should we ask another man for equality? All we need to do is treat each other equal. And I'm gonna leave it at that for tonight because I'm getting a little fired up. But I'm gonna leave it there for tonight. And you know, I see you all next week. And I appreciate, you know, Toya, Jay, Lisa, Leon. I appreciate you all from, you know, for chiming in. And all of those of you who are on the line, I appreciate you. And, you know, tune in again next week. And as I said, this is going to be, next month is going to be my final month on this. And then I'm moving on to the YouTube channel. That's going to be my primary focus. Because what I'm going to be pushing is black love, black power, and black unity. That's what I'm going to be pushing, regardless of how anybody else think or feel. That's what it's going to be about on that YouTube site. All I do is strive to do things and put things out that can help us grow individually and as a unit. So anything that I put out, that's what it's for, to help us grow individually and then become a unit. Because as you said, Brother Leon, if we can't help ourselves, we can't help the young people. So we got to help ourselves first. And I realize that. Special thanks to my brother Jay and Dre for the production side of the show. And I would like you all to tune in every Monday to Dollar Dash from 8:30 to 9:15. Tune in every Tuesday to the Financial ABCs from 8 to 9 p.m. Tune in every Thursday to the Lisa Experience from 8 to 9 p.m. Tune in every Friday, Keeping It Real, from 8 to 10 p.m. Tune in every Sunday to Point of Impact from 7 to 8 p.m. Also tune in to Grown Folks Talking by dialing 520-525-8633. That's 520-525-8633. And for any additional, you know, information you want to see about me, you know, you go to my YouTube channel, Peep Game TV. Go there, you know, scroll down. It's different stuff. Scroll down, look at it. You find something that, you know, that you like, that you think somebody else may need to hear, send it to them. You know, do that. I'm striving to get the 50 subscribers so that I can, you know, go live and be able to do the show live. And, I'm going to get it. You know, it's just a matter of time. I pray to you, the creator of all in existence, that you touch every heart and renew every mind who hears the vibrations of my voice so that our hearts, minds, and souls will come together and function as though we are one body. I pray that you bless each and every one of us with the spirit of unity, forgiveness, and with the ability to put aside our differences so that we can work together towards the much-needed changes within ourselves and within our communities for the sake of present and future generations. I pray with all my heart that our Creator has planted something incredible within each and every one of us that we will carry with us and share with others from this day forward. Anything that I said that was insightful and helpful came from Allah. Anything that I said was unclear and confusing came from me, and I ask your forgiveness. In closing, don't forget to reach out to someone who you love, care about, and just to see how they're doing or if they're okay. That being said, may you all be inspired and motivated to begin your journey towards a higher level of thinking and self-evaluation. To our next encounter, have a great night. I love you all like I love myself. Bring it in, Jay.
You think we've got two riders without mess? Thank you.
jerk up in here. Come on.
Grateful. The Lord brought me through this. Trying to be cute when I'm grateful.